He does cover college football. And in addition to that, all barbecue-related issues. For The Athletic, he is host of The Andy Staples Show. He's a friend of the program. He is Andy Staples. Andy, it's been a minute or two since you and I have spoken before we get into college football. How you doing, man? How is life for you right now?
I'm good, Jim. I have not gotten around to the various parts of the country to sample as much barbecue as I'm used to, but I took advantage of being homebound to lose a little weight so now I can gain it all back eating on the road when I get to go back.
I like it. Well played. All right, so the SEC, Andy, we turned over the weekend. I got to first ask, what was it like to be in Auburn, Alabama on a football Saturday for a home game and not see any traffic or any tailgating or anything at all like that?
It was weird, Jim, because they had the state troopers at the interstate exits waiting to direct traffic, and there was no traffic to direct. You just kind of drove right in, and they only let students into the game other than people in the suites and the guests of the coaches and players. And so it was very limited group, and it was quiet. But then once the game kicked off, you just kind of locked in on that, and it felt like football again.
Andy Staples joining us. All right, so from a game standpoint, Auburn ultimately beats Kentucky 29-13 in a game where Bo Nix had 277 yards from scrimmage, three touchdown passes. How did Nix look to you, and overall, how did the Auburn offense look?
Bo Nix was really good, and the thing about Auburn is we kept saying, if Bo Nix grows up, if he matures as a quarterback, because he's just a true freshman last year, that they are going to be somebody you got to worry about in the SEC, that they could potentially compete for the West title. And if you can compete for the West title, you can compete for anything. And he looked much more mature. There were plays that last year would have been sacks or interceptions or, whatever kind of negative play you want. And he found a way to get them out of it. So I thought that was big for them. They still need to be able to run the ball a little more between the tackles. We'll find out when they play Georgia on Saturday how far along they've come on that part of it. But Bo Nix looked ready to play some of these teams he's going to have to play down the road.
Andy Staples, my guest, I would agree with you. You don't want to make a snap judgment based off of only one game, but he looked much better. So then you mentioned Georgia. Auburn's going to Georgia Saturday. The Bulldogs, Andy, are coming off a win over Arkansas where they were trailing 7-5 at halftime before going on to win 37-10. Again, only one game, but where is Georgia as a team right now?
Well, we don't know what their offense is going to be, Jim. We know their defense is good, and it was good last year. They have almost everybody back. They look great on Saturday. But the offense was a mess at first, and they went to Stetson Bennett, who was kind of buried on the depth chart when this offseason started, and he got them going. But the question is, will he be the starter on Saturday, or will it be JT Daniels, the transfer from USC? Because Kirby Smart just said a couple hours ago, JT Daniels now medically cleared to play. He had an ACL tear last year at USC. So do they go to him, or do they stick with Stetson Bennett, who, if you watch that second half, it was working a little better with him.
Andy Staples, my guest. I mean, I'm just kind of stopping for 1 minute. It's just so great to be talking SEC football, which is what we're doing right now. It's just awesome. Like, you look around the SEC, Andy, Mississippi State goes into Death Valley and beat the defending national champs, LSU. So let me start here. Does that game say more about LSU or about Mississippi State?
I think it says more about Mississippi State right now. Just that we thought, you don't have much time. You've got a new quarterback who's transferring in from Stanford and KJ Costello. How ready is that offense going to be? Now, Mike Leach has always told us that the air raid is a pretty simple offense to teach and learn. And, I mean, I'm thinking if you got KJ Costello, who was a good quarterback at Stanford, mastered a pretty complex offense there, that he'd be pretty good in that. But I didn't think he'd be 600-something yards good. And, I've been saying all season this would be the most talented team that Mike Leach has ever coached. I mean, he never had this kind of athletes top to bottom at Texas Tech or Washington State, but the competition level is higher too. And so I figured, okay, they're going to go to LSU, they're going to get some yards, they're going to score some points, but they're not going to beat LSU. No, they took it right to them. And then if you look at the end, when LSU had kind of figured out what their offense should be doing and they're trying to come back, Mississippi State's putting Miles Brennan on his back. So I don't think Mike Leach has had this kind of defense on one of his teams either. So I'm really interested to see what he can do with this.
I was going to say, I mean, it's one thing. Like, given the talent that LSU lost, Andy, after last year, it would be understandable if it took a step back. But to your point, and I like KJ Costello a lot, but to see him going into Death Valley and throwing for 623 yards and five TDs in a 10-point win over LSU, I certainly did not see that. But to your point about Mississippi State, like, what is the ceiling? Where do they go from here? How good can they be this year?
Well, if they can beat LSU, they can beat most of the teams in the SEC. Now, Alabama will be the question. And I'm curious because, you know, when Mike Leach was at Washington State, it was always Washington for him that he could not solve them. They always shut them down. Alabama strikes me as that type of opponent for Mississippi State. But if you can beat LSU, I would think you can play with Auburn, you can play with Texas A&M, you can, you know, we saw Ole Miss on Saturday, their defense did not look great against Florida, but their offense looked good. So, I mean, the Egg Bowl may be 5 hours long. It may be the day after Thanksgiving by the time it ends.
Andy Staples joining us. All right, so you mentioned Ole Miss. Kyle Trask completed more than 71% of his passes for more than 400 yards and six TDs in Florida's win over Ole Miss. How impressive is Trask and Florida overall?
Florida's offense looked really good. Their defense was a little suspect, but I think, you know, we'll see. They were missing quite a few guys. And then you've also got the factor of that offense at Ole Miss with some really good skill guys was a complete mystery to them until the game started. You know, they're going to be dealing with teams from now on where they at least got a little film on them. So the offense looked great. They broke one of Steve Spurrier's records, which I believe Steve Spurrier paid off that bet with a mini bottle of Sutter's Home Companion to Dan Mullen today.
Right.
Very disappointed, but very on brand for Coach because I think – he probably got it for free, and it's probably been sitting around his house for a while.
I love it. Andy Staples joining us. Andy, what about number three, Oklahoma? 28-7 lead over K-State with 6 minutes to go in the third. Kansas State comes all the way back. They win that game 38-35. What happened to Oklahoma, and how bad of a loss is that?
It's a bad loss. But remember, Oklahoma lost to K-State last year and still won the Big 12 and made the playoffs. But I think you're asking a lot of Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at Oklahoma, who he only had two incompletions in the first half, but they were both interceptions, and one of them led to a touchdown. But you're asking a lot of him to be what Baker Mayfield was, what Kyler Murray was, what Jalen Hurts was. I mean, think about those guys. Jalen Hurts, before he got to Oklahoma, had taken Alabama to the national title game twice as a starter. You know, Kyler Murray at least had started some games as a true freshman at A&M. He was a fourth-year player when he became the starter. And Baker Mayfield had been a starting quarterback at Texas Tech before he got to Oklahoma. So you're asking a lot of this redshirt freshman who was playing his first Big 12 game to be as good as those guys because I don't think their defense is there yet. So it's still going to need to be. That's right.
Right, and this year is just so different anyway. Andy, let me get you a shift out to the West Coast. What do you make, and I'm curious of your thoughts on this, what do you make of how the Pac-12 has handled their season?
You know, when they postponed, I understood why. They had different municipalities that had different rules that other parts of the country weren't dealing with, where some teams were having a hard time even letting guys lift weights together. So I understand why they postponed. They made a deal on September 3rd with a company to do these rapid response tests so they could test daily. And I thought, okay, well, now they're going to start trying to figure out how to come back. But they didn't. And then the Big Ten decides a couple weeks later, hey, we're coming back. And all of a sudden the Pac-12 is like, wait a second. Oh, we need to come back too. And you wonder, like, what were you doing in the meantime? Because in California, in Oregon, they had to go to the governments and say, hey, can we do this? And the governments were like, yeah, you could have submitted a plan to us all along, but you're just doing it now. So it's one of those things where until the Big Ten moved, they weren't going to do anything. And I just find that kind of weird. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, they're going to get a season on, sort of, and just like the Big Ten, but they're going to start a couple weeks later. And I just feel like if they'd been a little more proactive, they probably could be starting with the Big Ten.
So you wonder exactly what's going on here. For instance, you raised this question in a piece for The Athletic. Why isn't Larry Scott fighting to get the Pac-12 into the college football playoff? Like, how would you answer that question? What do you think?
I don't know why. I mean, I've asked people there, you know, who are in the league, and, you know, because if you look at this year, there will be no non-conference games for the most part. There were a few early on with some leagues, but the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 are going to be completely conference only. So you don't have any of those points of comparison for the committee to look at. And so people are going to be locked in on the stereotypes that they've had for the last few years. Well, the stereotype of the Pac-12 is they don't play good football. So they have no chance to prove that wrong. So if I were the commissioner, Larry Scott, I would be saying, hey, just this year, let's expand the playoffs. Since we don't really have a non-conference schedule for anybody, we could do all the Power 5 champs make the playoffs, and then the highest-ranked Group of 5 champ makes the playoffs, and a couple at-larges. And then that way, we can deal with this fact that nobody's going to get to play each other and we can't figure out which conference is better. But he's not done any of that. He's not advocated for that at all. And I would argue he should have been advocating for an expanded playoff 2 years ago because they keep getting left out. And isn't your job to put the conference in the best possible position?
Andy, not only is he not advocating for it, but as you point out, he said, quote, there's really no serious momentum or discussion
right.
around expansion. We're committed to traditional dates. How and why is he committed to traditional dates? Why? Why would you be?
That part I don't know, and I had people argue, well, he's trying to do what's best for college football. He doesn't work for college football. His checks come from the Pac-12. He needs to do what's best for the Pac-12.
So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure exactly what's going on other than he is not advocating for the expanded playoff for sure. He covers college football and, well, as soon as you can hit on the road. So, Andy, like when you – nobody knows, right? This is the problem. Nobody knows. But when you can officially get out there and things loosen up, where are you headed to first for barbecue-related issues? Do you have a short list of destinations for when it is okay and responsible?
I have hit the road – a little bit already. The first FBS game of the year was Southern Miss in South Alabama in
right.
Hattiesburg, Mississippi. So I got on the road and I drove there, stopped in Mobile, Alabama, Meat Boss Barbecue, had a pulled pork sandwich with jalapeno jelly on it. It was outstanding. So I'm easing it back in a little bit. I had in Tallahassee, I had a stuffed wing. Did you know you can put mac and cheese in a chicken wing?
I did not know. How does that work? Can you? How?
You put it in there, and then you wrap it in the fryer, and it works. I don't know why it works, but it works.
Did it live up to the hype? Did it meet your expectations?
It was mac and cheese and a chicken wing, Jim. It speaks for itself.
You're right. I retract that question. It speaks for itself. Andy Staples covering college football. He's the host of the Andy Staples Show. Good friend of the program, Andy. It's so good to have you back. Great to hear your voice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
My man, he's right. You put mac and cheese in a chicken wing. What else is there to say about that? I just didn't know exactly how that worked. But now I do. And now I need to know more.